Thank you, Gary. And I echo what he says as he mentions about Revelation. Encourage you to be reading through the book of Revelation, trying to read through that each week and in preparation for August 8th, the second Sunday in the month of August, we will start a series of sermons on the book of Revelation. And I hope that you're praying about that. Pray for me, as I definitely need God's guidance. I am so thankful that each week here over this month of July, we have had people courageous and willing to stand up here and quote memory verses to you. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's hard enough to memorize a passage of Scripture, but it's doubly hard, if you've ever tried to do this, it's doubly hard to quote that Scripture in front of other people. And so I'm so thankful for those who have had that courage to do that, particularly Brady and Cajun this morning and their beautiful daughters, Beretta and Delta, helping them with Romans 8:28. What a great Scripture to hide in our heart, that God would be willing to work all things for the good of those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. So many times when I talk with people about Scripture memory, the first thing I hear from them is what? I can't do it. I can't do it. Don't say that. With God, all things are possible. Instead of saying, I can't do it, say, I can do it with His help. There is great value in memorizing Scripture. And I learned the truth of that with a passage of Scripture that we're looking at today. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's one of those passages of Scripture that we've heard. If you've been in the church for very long, you've probably heard the preacher talk about this particular passage of Scripture. Maybe you've memorized it already, but there is such value in having this Scripture in our heart and mind. I can't preach on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 without telling you about this incident in our lives that took place December 9th, 1986. And I've told you this story. If you've heard me preach through the years, even these 4 years that I have been at Reinhardt, you've heard me tell the story about our son Jonathan and when he was 4 months old. And you may think, you know, I've heard this story. I've heard this already. Why do you tell it again? It's such a benchmark in my life. It's a benchmark in Cindy's life. It's a benchmark in our journey of faith. And it goes hand in hand with Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 for me. I think for Cindy, she had another verse that she turned to out of the book of Psalms. And she can tell you about that if you give her a few moments. She'll tell you of that book of that chapter and verse out of Psalms where it says, God is my hiding place. That's the verse that she turned to on that day, those few days in December of 1986. We thought it was just a little heart murmur. You know, the doctor had detected a heart murmur on his four-month checkup and said, you better get that checked out. I haven't heard that before. And so we were able to get an appointment with a Dr. Cooper in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was a pediatric cardiologist. And we went there thinking it's just a little heart murmur. And people had told us, you know, lots of people have heart murmurs. And everything will be okay. And that was what we thought. And so we went and we saw Dr. Cooper. And we began to get a little bit more nervous as tests were run, and then they sent us over to St. Francis Hospital there in Tulsa. We weren't expecting that. We didn't know why we had to go to St. Francis Hospital, but we went. There were more tests run. We were sitting there in that little room waiting to talk to Dr. Cooper to find out that everything was okay. And I remember as he came into the room, he got down right in front of us, and he said these words. He said, "Your son's life is on the fence, and I'm not sure which direction he's going to go." Well, that wasn't what we were expecting to hear. And I remember the very first words out of my mouth, "Dear God, help us. Dear God, help us." And Dr. Cooper began to use words like congestive heart failure and surgery, a restriction. There's a restriction in the aorta artery. Your son's organs, his heart is already enlarged and fluid is building up around the other organs. And we're just sitting there in a daze at this point and crying out to God from within our heart. I went home that evening. Cindy stayed with Jonathan. He was immediately put in ICU, and before long, tubes were coming out of his little body. And I remember my first night, and I think her night was the same. It was not a good night at all, of restlessness and no sleep. And somewhere in the middle of the night, this passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, came to my mind. It was a passage that I had memorized at some point in my earlier life as a young person, probably at vacation Bible school or at church camp. But amidst all of this restlessness and this anxiousness that I was feeling in the middle of the night, God brings this passage of Scripture to my mind. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And I began to say that verse over and over again in my mind. And you know what? The worry that was prevailing in my heart and mind actually began to subside. And God's peace came over me. An inner calm took precedence over the fear. And miraculously, I drifted off to sleep. It's the first time that I ever remember the power of the memorized word. I had it here in my mind, and it was this very word that God used to bring comfort to my troubled soul. Now, that's not to say that I didn't have further worries. But when those worries resurfaced, I focused again on those two verses. I don't know how many times through my life from that point on that I have gone back to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and gained strength from those verses. And those verses have been the very truth of God that have brought calm to my life amidst the storms. And I could just name the number of times, the crisis moments that we have been in, that God has brought that verse, that passage of Scripture back to me to comfort me and to give me strength. It's been an amazing tool of the Holy Spirit in my life. Could I break the verse down for you this morning? First of all, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." And this is a part of the condition that I've talked to you about in weeks past. Oftentimes, there is a condition that goes along with the promise that God has for us. Well, in this passage of Scripture, there are actually three conditions. And then there is the promise at the end. The promise is, He will make our paths straight. The condition is that we need to trust in Him with our whole heart, and we need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We need to not lean on our own understanding. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself by breaking all of that down for you, but it's important that we see how it all fits together. We have a part, and God has a part, and we can be fully confident that He will keep His part if we do our part. And so the question is, what does it mean to trust God with all of our heart? It means we are choosing, we are making a decision to place ourselves in His hands. Whatever comes our way, whatever happens in our life, we are going to trust in Him. We are going to put full confidence in Him. We are going to believe that we are in His hands, and there are no better hands to be in than His hands. Maybe you've heard of people crossing the Niagara Falls Gorge on a tightrope. In 1859, a fellow who was called the Great Blondin, his last name was Blondin, and so they called him the Great Blondin, he began such a series of walks. He was drawing crowds of up to 25,000 people. He went across the gorge on a tightrope. And then he rode a bicycle across that tightrope, across the gorge. And then he pushed a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. He hollered to the crowd, "How many of you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across this rope a second time?" And they've already seen him do it once. And they raise their hand and they're cheering him on and they're so excited about him. And they believe that he can do it. And then he says, "Okay, who wants to get in the wheelbarrow?" Of course, there were no takers. But I think that's what it means to trust God with our whole heart, to get into the wheelbarrow and know that He's got us. I turned the TV on a week ago this morning as I was eating a bowl of cereal, and I tuned in to Dr. David Jeremiah's sermon. He's one of my favorite TV preachers, and maybe it was no coincidence that at the very moment I turned the TV on, he began to tell a story that fit perfectly with this morning's sermon. So as I heard the story, I got a pencil and a paper, and I wrote it down because knowing I'm going to use that. He told about the time that Abraham Lincoln attended an auction, and while he was there, a slave girl was put on the block. This young lady had such a bitter look on her face. No one really knew what she had been through, but just the look on her face told the whole story. She had been through a lot in her life. Abraham Lincoln decided to bid on her. And as the bidding went along, the price was going up. Abraham Lincoln kept on bidding until finally he had purchased the young lady as his own. She looked at him with such contempt, assuming that he would treat her the way her former slave owner had treated her, not very well. She said to him, "What are you going to do with me?" And Lincoln answered her, "I'm going to set you free." "What? Set me free?" she said. "You mean free to do what I want to do?" And Lincoln said, "Yes, free to do what you want to do." You mean free to say what I want to say? Yes, Lincoln said, free to say what you want to say. You mean free to go where I want to go? She asked. Yes, Lincoln said, free to go where you want to go. And then she responded, then I'm going with you. To trust in God with our whole heart means that we are going with Him. Wherever life takes us, we are going with Him. Whatever comes our way, we are going with Him. And keep in mind, He has earned that kind of trust from us because He has purchased us with the blood of His own Son. He has set us free from our sins. He is worthy of our trust. He's the God of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He's on the throne. If you've been reading from the book of Revelation over the last few weeks, this is one of the things that has just come to me so clearly, that He is on the throne and nobody can remove Him from that throne. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, the scripture says. And we tend to put our trust in so many other things besides Him, and those things are less worthy than Him. We tend to put our trust in money. Well, how foolish is that? We tend to put our trust in ourselves. I want to ask you, how ridiculous is that? Only God is worthy of our complete trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, the scripture says. The second part of that verse says, do not lean on your own understanding. Isn't it true we like to be able to figure things out? We like to see that roadmap of where He's leading us, and we want to know all of the twists and the turns, and we want to have a good reason as to why. I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. We are not going to have a good explanation as to why everything happens in our life. And really, it's kind of arrogant of us to think that God owes us an explanation as to why everything happens. He's God. And we're not. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, the scripture says. The truth is, we are not going to have a good explanation for why things happen in our life. Now, sometimes we will. Sometimes we'll have it all figured out. We'll know why things have happened. But there are certain things that come our way that we don't have a good explanation as to why those things happen. And that's when we just have to hold on to Him. I'm thinking about Abraham. Abraham was told by God to pack up his belongings and move to a foreign land. He didn't have a good explanation as to why. I'm sure in his mind he wanted to ask God, where to, God? Where are you wanting me to go? But God just said, trust me. He didn't give Abraham an explanation as to why. He didn't give him an explanation as to where. He just said, trust me. God said, you're going to have as many descendants as what stars are in the sky, as many grains of sand that are on the seashore. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And I'm sure Abraham's thinking, God, I don't even have one descendant yet. Can we not worry about the stars of the sky and the sand that is on the seashore? Can you just give me one? And yet God says, trust me. And there was no explanation as to why. And finally, Abraham and Sarah are given a child named Isaac. And then God says, sacrifice your only son Isaac for me on the altar and kill him. And I am sure Abraham would have liked to have had an explanation as to why. But there was no explanation. God just says, trust me. And you remember, God provided the lamb for Abraham. There are lots of twists and turns in our lives that we will not have a good explanation for. And it's okay to ask the question of why, but sometimes the answer isn't given back to us. But that's okay. Because He's in control. We're not. He's the one who's in the driver's seat. And so we need to let Him drive and know that He is a good God and He is faithful and He has never made a wrong turn yet. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Number three, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Whether times are good or whether times are hard, acknowledge Him as Lord. You know how some people compartmentalize God? You know, on Sundays from 10:30 until 11:45 or however long the preacher goes, that's God's time. And all the rest of the time is my time. I don't think that's how God intended for it to be. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether then you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Another scripture says it this way, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We are to be His representative. At work, we are to be His representative. At the ballpark, we are to be His representative. 2 weeks ago at the Vernon County Fair, I was out there several nights. And one night, I parked over on the south lane that goes into the fairgrounds. And so as I was pulling out of that south lane, I noticed a sign on the ball field there. You know what sign is on the ball field there on that south lane of the fairgrounds? It says something to the effect that playing ball was for the kids, not for the parents. And I thought, I bet that sign's there because there are some parents who act like it's all about them rather than just letting their kids have fun playing ball. Isn't that why that sign's there? And I'm thinking, you know, everything we do as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should reflect Him, whether it's at the ballpark or wherever we find ourselves to be. We are to acknowledge Him. As we're driving our car, we are to acknowledge Him. As we're choosing what we're going to wear for the day, we are choosing to reflect Him. As we're choosing what we're going to watch on the TV or on our phone or on our tablet, we should reflect Him. How we react to people, how we love the unlovable, all of that should reflect Him. And so in reality, hear me say this, in reality, He doesn't get just a little piece of the pie on a Sunday morning. He gets all of us. He gets our whole being every day of the week. That's what we're to be aiming for. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And here's the promise. He will make your paths straight. He will work things out for us. Now, that doesn't mean that things will always go the way we want them to go. But sometimes that's the best thing for us. Maybe you've heard this before, the difference between our perspective and His perspective. We're looking at things from down below. He's looking at things from up above. He has an eternal perspective. Our perspective is a short-sighted perspective. It's like looking at this huge rug that is suspended in space. From underneath, we are looking up at the rug. And all we are seeing from the underneath side are threads that are being tied off. And sometimes the view is rather dull and disjointed. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. But from up above, God sees the whole picture. And God sees a beautiful piece of art. The colors are vibrant. And His view is so much better than ours. We just need to trust Him. And maybe in time, we'll be able to see things from His perspective. And we will know that indeed He has been working to make our way straight. Do you believe He is a good God? Amen. Let's read this verse together, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Let's pray together. God, we know that You are faithful in doing Your part. Help us to be faithful in doing our part. Thank You for how You're always with us. You are an awesome God, and we praise Your wonderful name. In Jesus' name, amen.